Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody. I felt like Dr. Nick today. Thought I'd do that little intro. How you doing? This is Mikola and Howson, Uncensored. Back like I never left today. What happened? Who was sat in my chair last week?
Joe, and actually there was almost another personnel change this morning, wasn't there?
Yeah. Joe messaged me like, don't want to make this a habit or anything, but shall we do Mikola and Howson Uncensored with me and you? No, Joe. It was a one-off. You're not getting back on the top show on the channel every week ever again. Ever again.
People weren't happy, Joe.
They were, actually. I was worried. That's why I made sure I was here today, because I didn't want to give Joe another chance. And then, you know, things move on very quickly. You'll be forgotten about after a week.
Yep. We had a possible Rona scare at training. Turned out to be a false alarm, thankfully. But as it was standing, it was like, yep, no stay for a week.
I was buzzing.
But, Joe, it fucks us here in a big time, because at training, we've got Will.
Great goalkeeper.
Centre half and left back Will, who's also the producer of all the Paddock FC stuff in this office. You've got Cameron, who's the producer here. Cam also lives with the other editor that we have, Callum, which means that they all can't come in. Ronaldo can't come in. Jake, who does graphics for the footy team, he can't come in. I can't come in. And I don't know who would be here to do anything. Mm. So Joe was like,
As you can tell, everyone that works here just saves on rent by living together in a one-bedroom flat. Works out well, though. Ronaldo, Cam, top and tailing with each other. But yeah, it would have been mad. I was expecting to come in, not see you, not see anybody. Have a nice, quiet day. And then Joe disappeared. He's proper scared him, isn't he?
Wet's the word you're looking for.
Yeah, he's wet. He's a wet wipe, like we like to call him. But he's proper scared, Joe is. So, yeah. Prayers for Joe, anyway. How are you feeling now?
One like equals one prayer.
How are you?
I'm fine. And I'm all right in myself as well, thanks for asking.
You're good in yourself.
What do you know?
I don't know anything, to be honest. You've been enjoying All or Nothing?
Yes.
It's good, isn't it?
I saw what I'm going to call the best tweet to come out of the series so far, which was Jose's conversation with Danny Rose, and someone had put, right click, sell for any price.
Yeah, I like that. I've seen that. But
footy managers, if you don't get that.
But that then is alluding to the fact that Danny Rose was wrong. I felt Danny Rose was right. And I could have seen that conversation happening with many United players as well.
Undoubtedly.
It was the bit where he said, hold on, he's shit every week. He still starts. I play shit once and I'm never back. And it's like...
And he was right against Liverpool, which is obviously, as a fullback, that's a tough ask. Undoubtedly, you can just like copy-paste 4, 5, 6 different United players into that situation and the conversation's exactly the same. You brought me on against Liverpool. I didn't get a kick. Yeah. Cheers.
And he was... But he proper, like... Mourinho kept saying, I'm being straightforward with you. But he wasn't being straightforward with you because you know how his mind works. He's always thinking, actually, let me keep Danny Rose there, even though I don't want him, just in case shit happens. But really, he needed to just say, bruv, I don't rate you.
clearly.
Like, I just don't rate you.
Because he tried to sign him at United.
He tried to sign actively. A few as well, didn't he, from there? Dyer, Alderweireld.
He definitely likes Dyer.
He does like Dyer.
Which is hilarious, because then after he's bigged him up like that, and then he subs him, what was it, 30 minutes in or something?
But I feel like Mourinho like probably felt Dyer will take it better than someone else.
Yeah.
And he may... Actually, watching it, I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, you're a hypocrite, you wanted rid of him. And I did want rid of him, and I still would want rid of him. And if I was a Spurs fan, I wouldn't want him in the job. But as me as a personality, me as a person watching him, I would love to work for him. I would love to play for him. You know, someone that just is a cunt, calls you a cunt, makes you feel like you can take on the world. And just, yeah, I like that. But you don't get to see much about his style of play. In it, which I don't like.
It's probably the amount of access that they've got is mental, especially into his office. So there must have been some considerations. All right, if you have that, you ain't seeing my tactics.
Mm.
There's got to be. You can't either see how we fully analyse it. You can't see how we fully prepare for this. There's got to be some consideration.
Because if you were watching that, you'd think he doesn't really work on tactics.
No.
But obviously he does, you just never get to see them. They have their meetings and everything where they obviously work on
things. We've got a similar thing here with what we're doing with Paddock FC. A new episode of the documentary dropped today. We're showing you a lot. We're showing you more than a lot of people would include in all of
the Paddock one's called Nothing or Nothing.
Fuck off.
Nothing or fuck off.
But some people have been commenting about the certain things that we've talked about, and you're going... you're still only seeing snippets.
Mm.
No, a lot of the training is, I'll be honest, fucking boring as a entertainment thing to watch. It's repetitive. It's a different iteration on something. The conversations that you have individually with players, mostly private. We're trying to be as open as is sensible to be without literally showing the fucking text messages that you get from players and stuff like that in the aftermath. So, and this is... amateur Saturday League football. This isn't a Premier League team worth billions. No, so I can understand the considerations and the desires, and I'm sure there was arguments when Levy had to... Do you know what? Levy's the ultimate bad Bond guy character, Bond villain character. I can understand that. When Jose probably went for the interview, they was like, look, we've got this fucking documentary being filmed, obviously. What's the crack? Because it didn't show, considering how long they were there filming Poch...
I wanted to see more of that.
There was no
before, botch. You know, the breaking up of that team, how upset they were.
When did they start filming it?
Start of the season. So they had that footage, but they've obviously changed narrative.
So it was post the Champions League?
The whole
League.
Season. So from the Champions League final,
yeah.
The whole season. So they would have had
he went at Christmas, didn't he?
Yeah, so they should have had, like, in the dressing room before his last game or after his last game, and they never had any of that. And it was like...
What do you reckon that was a...
I think that was more to do with... Mourinho is a bigger star, isn't he?
So we're going
to
focus it on Jose.
Yeah, you completely... It'd be almost like Poch is Spurs and Mourinho's United. If United turn up, you're going to just be like, boom. But I think because of the story of Spurs and those players, I think there would have been a lot of bonds there between them, and it would have been interesting to see how that fell away. But maybe a lot of players felt it was embarrassing.
And maybe that's the reason why they've not shown that. Because maybe they've looked at that and gone... Maybe they've reviewed the footage after they've got it and gone, we can't put this out.
Or maybe it then becomes a 20-episode thing and they don't want to do that, do you know what I mean? But I'm hoping in a year or two we get like some leaked footage of Poch's last days, because it would have been a big... And it would have been that meeting, if they filmed that meeting of Poch and Levy. Because you hear Harry Kane after, the day after he says to someone, oh, he just told him to get out. Or something like, you know, pack your things up and go. But in front of camera, Levy's saying, I want to be his friend. I want to, you know, I want to... And it's like, well, that
never
really
happened. Yeah, he's a Bond villain for me, Levy. He's a Bond villain. And...
He'll turn on Jose as well, I think, soon. But they'll both turn on each other. I don't see how this relationship could be sustainable. A manager that will clearly want everything his way and a CEO who's not going to give you that, it will blow up spectacularly. Do you think Jose acted differently than what he would normally do on camera? Or do you feel we're maybe seeing a different Jose? Do you reckon United players are watching this Jose and saying, who the fuck is that guy? Because he seemed to take a change of attitude, didn't he? Before the job.
I think he's semi-conscious of it. Like, the clip that's gone around the world is him getting up. Have you seen the edits of it as well?
Mm.
where he gets up and turns the telly off with different things.
Can't wait till someone puts one of our fan cams in it.
Yeah.
Go on, lads, but get sorted on that.
I think he's almost acting at those moments. I think there's times when he loses himself. Like when he's on the training ground and he's getting involved in training and he's having a kickabout, I think he forgets then.
Mm.
But I think there's times when he's like, comes on me.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I liked him though from that, what we saw, but I don't feel that was the same Jose United got. Anywhere near. And I think there are moments where he slips back into... He's trying to be this new guy, this positive guy, and this guy that's going to uplift Spurs.
But oh, it's a mask.
He slips back into the old Jose.
I'm still very keen to see how much of his success was Farrier.
I think it's unfair, though. It's like saying how much of Fergie's success was down to Kiros. And I think that's ultimately unfair, especially when you see... You know, the manager ultimately is the main man. He's the figurehead. And I think even if you did have a good coach, yes, they'll impact you and their ideas will play a part in how you set up and how you do things. But I don't think that's... I think football changing is the biggest thing that's affected him. And I don't think his tactics have really changed massively. I don't think he's changed. And I think football has. People have changed in football within the game. They're richer. They're a younger crowd. Like, not you can't really be angry with someone like all the time anymore.
Right. If you forget that you were just talking about Jose, that was Fergie in 2005. That's what people were saying then.
But he wasn't angry all the time. He wasn't coming out in press, laying into his own players. He wasn't doing those things.
Well, no, I think Jose's always had a more...
You could say Fergie struggled to adapt.
Sort of attitude.
You could say Fergie struggled to adapt, and that would be fair comparison in a sense. But, and then that's where his assistant managers came in and maybe helped him. But in terms of the man management side of things, Fergie did so well. Because you look, when he came in 1986, into United, not into football. Football then, players going to pubs after games, before games. It's different. Even the type of person that you're dealing with. And he managed to, just go through that change. It's crazy when you think about it, because he must have been looking at these people thinking like, bro, Kieran Richardson's got a fucking Bentley, you know? Oh, and gosh. It's like, you've now got to change. Like back then, it would have been only the top dons would have one of them cars. And
oh, not even? Like,
yeah, not even.
But the adaptation Fergie went through was to always constantly refresh his backroom staff. Jose was the opposite. He had the same group of generals wherever he went. He carried his little team. And now he's lost his number one guy that was with him for nearly 20 years. I think that plays a massive part. Fergie came into it with, was it Archie Knox, his first one? I don't know if that was the first one at like St Mirren and that lot. He had Name Archie Knox, certainly at Aberdeen, and I think he came to United Aberdeen for a bit, and then I think he was offered the job. I think he might have been offered the top job at Aberdeen.
Well, he went into the World Cup, didn't he, just before United?
Yeah.
Is that when Jack Steen passed away? That's mad, isn't it? Because you wouldn't think Fergie managed at a World Cup. Mm. Do you remember when people used to call for Fergie to be manager of England? How do you think he would have done? Do you think he would have won a trophy, for example, with Sven's team?
Okay, what year?
Let's say Fergie, when he was supposed to quit in 2001, quit.
And he took England to World Cup
2002. And then 2 years, a year later, they managed to get him out just for the tournament. You think he wins it?
In 2002?
Which one was 2000? South Korea? Japan, South Korea?
2002.
Germany?
Yeah.
No. Was it Japan, South Korea? What a football that was.
He wins that. Who's in his team? David Beckham. Paul Scholes.
Rio.
He wins that.
Gerard Lampard.
Gerard was just emerging at that.
2000, yeah, too early. 2002. Who was England's team in 2002?
I want to say Sol Campbell and Rio was at centre-half. I want to say, was Ashley Cole at left-back or was it like Trevor Sinclair? No, was it Chris Powell?
Danny Mills. Ryan Giggs was... Gary Neville was injured, wasn't he? Danny Mills played against Brazil.
Trevor Sinclair went.
Danny Mills played against Brazil. Trevor Sinclair went. He did well. Nicky Butt was player of the tournament.
There's your midfield then. Old Nicky fucking Trevor Sinclair left wing, Beckham, Scholes, but yeah, Fergie would have had a fucking field day with that. Who do you have up front? Michael Owen and...
Yeah, so here's the full squad. David James, Nigel Martin, David Seaman, Wayne Bridge, Wes Brown, Sol Campbell, Ashley Cole, Rio, Martin, Keon Mills, Southgate, Beckham, Bott, Cole, Dyer, Hargreaves, Scholes.
Fucking Robbie Fowler went when he was at Leeds. And,
what?
And Darius. I thought it was Sheringham and Owen. Yeah, he'd have played... Because right, he knew Sheringham. Because he knew Sheringham. Yeah, he'd have played...
Sven loved Darius Fasal, didn't yeah. he? You heard a story
was
about
it Heskey and Owen that he played up front in that? I don't really remember.
Yeah, Heskey it would have been Heskey and Owen and Teddy coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And Vassal coming off the bench.
Owen Hargreaves. Owen Hargreaves is good, actually, in that
You could play Owen Hargreaves sitting.
Joe Cawley played on the left, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Fergie has a field day with that team.
But, yeah. It's...
But then we don't get Ronaldo era United.
No, I wouldn't. I'm not saying I would want him to be England manager.
No, I'm just
Of course not. But just would like to know how he'd get on as England manager. Or in an international tournament.
Here's the thing with international tournaments, in my opinion, they're about can you keep the lads happy? That's more about man management and having the most basic plan A ever. I don't think you've got multiple plans because I don't think there's enough time to work with them. You get like 2 weeks pre-tournament and then that's you in it. And then you just train, recover, fucked off home. So I think you've got a very basic system that hopefully you've had a bit of time to work on in the build-up. And then you can implement it. But the man management, knowing when someone needed a rest and when they didn't, knowing how to motivate. Sir Alex Ferguson's the best on the planet with that, especially in 2002.
Mm.
Especially 2002.
Mm.
So I think, yes. But who's his assistant?
Steve McLaren. Probably would have brought him with him. Carlos Queiroz.
It wouldn't have been a foreigner. You can't have a Scot and a Portuguese manager. You've got to have a Scot and an English
Right. Some would say you can't have a Scot. Like, that was the whole reason why he never did it, but... Like, you know,
I think he says in one of his books, didn't he? I wouldn't have
been allowed back in Scotland.
Yeah, he just wouldn't have done it.
Yeah,
which is fair.
Yeah, it is. But and I wouldn't have wanted him to go. But that was a weird time when we thought we were going to get Sven. And there were pictures of him at Old Trafford and things like that.
Yeah, he was done, wasn't it? How do you reckon Sven would have done?
He would have got sacked after a bit.
So it was 2002. We'd literally just signed Rio, Ruud, Varane. Fuck me.
He managed Varane at Lazio, didn't he?
I wonder. Joe, sometimes you see managers line in signings up before they get there. I wonder.
Nah. Fergie don't take next man signing. He don't take next man signing. He didn't even prepare for his departure the second time around. Like, he ain't preparing for his departure the first time around. Oh, God. Wonder where we would have been as a club after that as well. Because... His departure came 12 years later.
We would have been in the six,
Roman
7 years.
Roman come 4 years later.
In the 6, 7 years post Fergie, where we sit now, I think if he'd have left then, where we are as a club now wouldn't have been as bad. But we wouldn't have achieved the success that we achieved under him, but it wouldn't be as bad as it is now.
I don't know, you know.
Look at the team. You had a fucking young Rio Ferdinand in there.
How do you know half these lads don't want to dip? Would after Sven fucks up?
No, you don't.
Like, Keane
but Sven at the time
fucking,
comes
let me go
in with a fucking, yeah.
All right, yeah.
But
I'm
you still,
leave.
2002, you still had 3 years of Roy Keane. You still had a young Scholes, a young Giggs. You had Rio Ferdinand. Like, there was you had a new Ruud. Like, maybe you don't sign Ronaldo, but maybe you actually find a system that Ruud Van Nistelrooy.
Who would Sven have signed his first line in? Heskey.
Nah, because you can't take into account. You have to look at who he signed at Lazio. Did he bring like the likes of Crespo and stuff into Lazio?
Who were his first signings at City? He brought in like Ilana.
You can't.
No, I'm not saying he would have brought them, but you can look at the type of players he brought in.
No,
he brought in Ilana, didn't he?
City had just been promoted when he got there. So that was like you've got to put it on that frame, not the team that recently won the Champions League a couple of years ago. No, I think you look at his signings at like Lazio, because he signed some top players at Lazio. And I think he probably goes along that route because United spent money then. And you might never have got... Oh, that's the one. That sliding doors moment. Does Fergie fall out with JP McManus? Do the Glazers ever come in? Maybe we've cracked it. Maybe Sven coming in, we own the club by now as fans.
If we didn't miss out on Sven, everything would have been all right.
How mad's that?
That's basically what we're saying today. Oh, God. Svenja and Eriksen. Is he the best thing? I've been tweeting a lot about Southgate this week. I don't really care for England as much as I did as a kid. I think my heart went out of it after World Cup 98, and then it was further cemented after Euro 2000. But I still take an active interest in it, and I still watch them and want them to do well. But they won't do well under Gareth Southgate.
No, I mean, he failed his only challenge in the World Cup that he got. The only challenge.
Yeah, like someone said to me, okay, so I tweeted something about it. They said, well, he got you to the semi-final.
Did he?
Panama, Tunisia, Sweden. If me and you were managing England, we'd be expected to beat them teams.
Yeah.
Like, in that tournament. And then we lost against the first good team we come up against. And we should have beat them.
Yeah.
He's not good enough. It's not good enough. Sorry to say.
But he had a waistcoat.
And I just feel like because everyone's doing this thing where, oh, the English media's nice now. We've been nice to our national team. And so they're not going to put pressure on him. You've seen Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher yesterday talking constantly about his three at the back. Fuck the formation. All of that. Southgate's a dud. We're wasting tournaments. And we got such a... How are you starting Dyer, Rice and Calvin Phillips, or Dyer, Rice and Winks, or Dyer, Rice and... And you got Jack Grealish and Madison's and... Oh, what is going on?
I think what England really lack is a pure...
Good manager.
A pure thoroughbred, box-to-box number eight, like your energy, like a Robbo. You know, and obviously there's a lot of lack of them. Like a Keane. You know, like, people think of Keane as like a defensive player. No, he wasn't. He was box-to-box in his early days. He was like literally on both edges of both boxes. England don't have anyone that fits in between. They've got loads of number 10s and loads of number 6s and no number 8s.
But it's the way he sets up, bro.
And, well, you didn't need to stack it with 3 6s last night.
Against who?
Yeah.
Who?
You could have easily played 1 6 as a ball player and had a couple of attacking midfielders. And unleash some of the fucking and talent that you've got, like Sancho and Greenwood.
Like we had the likes of Rashford and that out, and you still could have played a front four of Kane, Sancho, Sterling, fucking Grealish. That's Premier League winning stuff. Mm. What is? We don't deserve nice things. We don't. We genuinely don't. Like, we had Michael Carrick, this footballer, this amazing footballer that would have provided us balance to Gerrard and Lampard and all these guys, and we overlooked him. If he was Spanish and Italian, he would have been playing every week. Like, it was a joke.
People in the comments are going to fucking jump all over this comment, but I don't give a fuck. Michael Carrick should be in that conversation with who was the best, because Paul Scholes is the best. That's a given, right? So who was the second best midfielder of that generation? People will overlook Michael Carrick, and I don't know why.
I think for good reason.
What?
I'll tell you why. One, because Scholes is the best from United. Gerrard's the best from Liverpool. He's the best from Chelsea. So you're always going to have that now, the best from those clubs coming against each other. But I think, as a footballer, Carrick, what he did was very underrated. And his passing ability was great, and his reading of the game was great. But Gerrard and Lampard had more to their game.
No, they had goals to their game, and that is it.
They had more to their game.
That ball that Steven Gerrard's famous from. The 60-yarder out for a throw-in or a goal kick, right? Michael Carrick does them and fucking completes them time in, time out. Michael Carrick had a fucking range of passing, second only to Paul Scholes in that United midfield.
I think, like, every Scholes needs a Carrick. Gerrard needs it, Alonso. Like, they all need that guy next to them. They all need Lampard needed Makélélé, Essien. They all need that guy next to them to allow them to play. Carrick's that guy to allow them to play. He's not them.
No, I still think he's a better footballer.
He holds on to the ball. He didn't shoot enough, but that's all they've got.
They've only got goals over him.
I don't know, man. Gerrard's a better leader than him as well.
The fuck does that mean?
But it does mean something, especially in midfield, bro. That's the why
we I talk, have to question.
That's part of what we talk about leadership. Robbo and Keane when we talk about them.
Because leaders win things. He charged around like a dickhead and was right.
He was Stevie Mee, I know.
All right, he won the Champions League. Fucking did he? Because I'll tell you, Didier Mann and fucking Xabi Alonso won them that Champions League. Steven Gerrard, make it all about me performance isn't what a fucking Stevie leader does. Me. They was down in that saying, final because man, he can't just... fucking defend.
I love Michael Carrick. He smiles beautiful. He looks beautiful. He plays beautiful. But come on. Come on.
And all the people that are like, oh, you're just biased. Of fucking course I am.
We're biased. We have to be biased. But just Don't be stupid.
No, it's not stupid. I think people need to actually open their brain. Stop listening to fucking Sky Sports, right?
Open your brain.
Open your fucking brains, right? Stop listening to Sky Sports and watch. Because actually, if you want to have a fucking conversation about the
Sky
greatest
Sports, still
Premier League midfielders,
yeah.
Roy Keane is the answer. And then probably Yaya fucking Touré needs to be at least into the top three in that conversation. Fuck Steven Gerrard. Fuck Steven Gerrard.
Yaya gets underrated because he's African.
Yeah. Steven Gerrard is nowhere near above Roy Keane.
And
nowhere above Yaya Touré.
I saw someone tweet the other day.
He's not even above Vieira.
That Didier Drogba's...
He's not above Vieira, is he?
Who?
Gerrard.
No.
No, correct. No. There you go.
No.
Next fucking
he is
question.
Above Carrick, though.
I disagree with you.
He is above Carrick.
If I'm building a team, Michael Carrick's in there for that selfish
that's
fucking...
Because, that's because, listen, that's because Scholes, Gerrard, Lampard, you can pick one of them, but then you have to pick the balance. You have to have the Carrick. Like, every Scholes, Gerrard, Lampard needs a Carrick. But they're the better players for that reason.
The only thing he didn't have was goals. And people overrate that side of the game. Keeping hold of the fucking ball.
He used to score when he shot as well. Yeah. Remember watching his testimonial when he dabbed, when he scored? I'm just thinking, why didn't you shoot more often than not? And Roma scored two. Probably the last times he ever shot for United.
When you
he scored against
what,
City, remember in the...
What did he win as a player?
Munich game.
Only three fucking back-to-back titles. Anyone else in that fucking list say that? Oh, no, was the answer. What do you mean?
But what you're saying, would United have still won those leagues if we put Gerrard in instead of Carrick or Lampard instead of Carrick? I think the answer is yes.
Fucking hell no. Without offering what Michael Carrick offers us.
I know, but I'm just... Carrick's sick, but I think kind of, you know...
Gerard absolutely not. Do you know what you get? You get the England situation where you go, oh, why isn't this working?
Yeah, yeah, Carrick needed to play. Carrick needed to play. Ask Dean, me and Dean, yeah? Me and Dean, we used to sit on the stairs at college, yeah, arguing with all these geezers, yeah, about Carrick being the man to free up Gerrard and Lampard around 2006 World Cup. And they weren't having none of it, bro. And I remember after just saying, you're like pricks. That's
it's match of the day players. Same motherfuckers that thought fucking Micah Richards was a top class defender because his positioning was shit and
then
he would always make
and then made Micah Richards
tackles.
Come out and say to Keno, remember my breakthrough, yeah? Keno was like, what?
When was that?
I love that.
Right,
like
didn't they buy him from Leeds or Birmingham or something? At 16?
He is from Birmingham. I think they...
They bought him from... I think it was Leeds. I want to say
he's
Leeds.
From Birmingham. Because I remember his first interview. He played in the FA Cup game against Villa, didn't he? And then he swore in his interview. That's the first time I remember seeing Micah Richards.
Well, I think they bought him at 16. He was either Birmingham or Leeds. I want to say Leeds for some reason. I might be wrong on that. But City, because they've had no fucking academy players that have done
actually,
fuck all.
He is from Yorkshire, isn't he? Micah Richards.
They've named a fucking suite at their stadium, the Micah Richards suite.
Oh, no, he's born in Birmingham, isn't
he? Was it Leeds, his junior club?
Leeds, Oldham. He was at Leeds, then he went to Oldham City.
Right.
Can you do which Italian club did he spend some time at on loan? Micah Richards.
Vicenza.
Fiorentina. The Viola.
Wouldn't have fucking known that.
Producer Chris knows that.
He does know that. He likes a bit of the Viola, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, they messed up my bet once.
Have
I
you
just
seen that?
Texted him like, you shit team.
There's a documentary. It might be on Netflix. It's definitely on YouTube about football historical. Yeah, they haven't got an Adam Johnson suite, have they?
No.
I don't know why.
You know, that was a bad year for Adams, wasn't it?
That football historica that goes on. You never seen it?
Never heard of
Calcio
it.
Calcio Storica?
Never heard of it.
So it's like, it's played in the town square in Florence. The four districts of Florence come together. They cover it in sand and hay. And they wear these weird fucking uniforms. They've played it every year since like 15 old fuck knows.
Oh, is it one team against one or all four teams at once?
They play a semi-final on like the Thursday and then on the Saturday.
Football?
Not really. There is a football. So there's a football. The nets are about this high and about 50 metres long. At both ends of the square. And then they basically have a line of forwards through the middle and they sort of just have a punch up and have like a bit of an MMA
fight.
Oh, that's
sick.
And then, basically, your forwards have a fight until you get a bit of a numerical advantage. Then it becomes a bit of a mixture of like American football and rugby where they try and move the ball up and they give it the speedy guys to try and throw it into the net like handball style. But it's called historical football. or Calcio Storica. They up till a few years ago, they used to allow people to go and
are there videos of this online?
They are.
Oh, I'll have to check this out later.
But then they recently, because it was getting a bit touristy, they just was like, no, fuck off. Local sport for local people.
We have cheese racing and stuff here, don't we?
Yeah, nothing as cool as that. That's fucking mint, isn't it? Mm. And it looks bananas.
Good fun, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like running down a hill.
And then you literally own your city afterwards. So I think there's...
You are. You win the city.
Well, like, they go out and fucking have it, don't they?
Do they still give people keys to cities and things like that?
Yeah, but I don't actually know what that means.
Because Marcus Rashford's probably in line for the key to the city, isn't he?
Wants to be.
Mm. He's the future. Can I just say, yeah, I love Marcus Rashford. He could never score another goal ever again.
How professional and fucking, like, articulate he is. When all these MPs are coming for him. Do you see what David Vance said the other day?
Bro, I just had to tell Dave. Like, on behalf of Marcus Rashford, I had to tell David Vance to suck his mum because I know Marcus Rashford can't do these things. He's not going to come out say... He's going to think it. He's going to think, suck your mum. Dane's probably going to think it. Look at this prick. But they can't do it. So we have to take to the streets, the Twitter streets, and say what needs to be said.
Do you know what I said? I think I said something along the lines of, who the fuck are you, you cheeky gammon-faced twat?
Yeah, I seen that as well. I love that everyone piled onto him, but then that's what these kind of people want. I don't even know who he is, apart from the times he pops up on the timeline being an absolute knob. And I know people probably think that about me, but... I'm not dangerous.
Fucking... How articulate he is an absolute fucking credit, because I couldn't fucking... With politicians coming in and just asking inane bullshit... Like, oh, so we got to feed all the fucking kids. You didn't have anything to fucking say. Oh, so tax need to go and pay for feeding your kids. You had no issue with people fucking getting their restaurant bills paid by the tax.
It's the same,
you
man.
You fucking dick.
Look, and I'm behind Harry Maguire, by the way.
I got a new idea.
I'm fully behind Harry Maguire, by the way. But it's the same man that were like, oh, he's only on holiday having a little drink. And that will gas that up. That will say, oh, Marcus Rashford. Stick to football. Fuck politics and that. By the way, feeding kids ain't politics. If you think feeding 100 children is political, you can...
And not only this, mate. We are about to hit a fucking, like, Great Depression level fucking recession, potentially. Because no cunt's in a job, and every cunt keeps getting locked up every couple of weeks. Like, the economy is... There's going to be some businesses that just never come... A lot of businesses that go and never come back. Mm. And there might be some industries that go and never come
back.
Well,
I mean, look... In this country anyway, before Corona...
Think of the strippers!
Think of them. In this country before the Rona, we had people that were out here hungry anyway. Look, I used to benefit of school dinners, free meals, dinner tickets, things like that back in the day. I needed them, bruv. I used to want to be on a packed lunch. I used to ask my mum all the time and she used to say, can't afford it. Do you know, I can't afford it. She used to have little jobs and my dad used to have... You know, we've got everything there. We've got a lovely family. We've got love. We've got... But sometimes you can't do things that other people can, or you skip meals or whatever because you think, oh, I don't want to stress mum out, or I don't want to do this. That's how it is, isn't it? That's how it is in a lot of places for a lot of people, not just black, not just brown, not just white. Like, everybody deals with this kind of shit. And in England, you see it a lot. Like, I see it. And I'm a working-class person who's grown up around people. You are. We all see it with our own eyes, isn't it? And I think sometimes you just have to have a little bit of empathy, sympathy for people, and realise that even if it's that person's fault for the situation they're in, sometimes someone just needs a hand, you get me? And we're talking about kids here. People saying, oh, the parents, this, that. All right.
Yeah.
But sometimes what about the kid, bruv? He's still hungry, you get me?
Sometimes people get born to fuck up parents.
Yeah.
I was going to say something, and that'll probably be a bit harsh. Sorry, Cam. But do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're right. Like, some people are fucked up and maybe they should have had their kids the age that they had them, but they did. At the end of the day, you should judge a society on how it deals with those that are vulnerable. If you was a guy that was like, yeah, fucking buzzing, let's go and do the eat out to help out thing, and then you're like, my tax shouldn't go and pay for hungry kids. Well, they've just paid to feed you and you didn't need that. You went to a restaurant and got half off and you're fine with that, but you don't want to feed hungry kids.
All right, let your tax go to the tax breaks for the rich and the wealthy and all these Tories nonces that are doing what they want with the peas. Just do that then, innit? I mean, rather than the people that contribute to society.
How many comments we just got saying stick to football, lads?
I don't give a shit, bruv. Come tweet me as well, I'll tell you that. I don't give a shit.
It's not that,
innit?
I'm
unchained.
Like, two lads who work in a fucking car garage, yeah, let's say, mechanics, good skilled job, yeah, sitting there having a brew, they can talk politics. No, hey, Keith, shut the fuck up, mate. It's
like,
fixing
it's like Gary Lineker. I had a little tete-a-tete with Gary Lineker the other day.
It's not like you.
You see that? But I like him. It's like people started laying into him under the comments, I fucking hate Gary Lineker. And I was like, I like him. Like, he's not bad, he's harmless. But I just thought the Lionel Messi stuff was a bit cringe. The way people are going on about
Yeah,
Messi.
It fucking completely is cringe. It completely is cringe. Like, he's given his life to that. They pay him $1.5 million a week.
And juiced him up, allegedly.
Well, I think they've admitted it.
It's true, though. Like,
well, they've admitted it to
so,
a certain
hold state. On. So what threshold do you have to pass for you to now be able to do what you want to a football club? Could Giggs do what he wanted?
By the sounds of it, 5 Ballon d'Ors.
Could Giggs do
what he
wanted?
Because that's what people always... He won 5 Ballon d'Ors for them. He won all these titles for them. Yeah, that was his job.
Who gave him the opportunity? Who gave him the chance? Who developed him? Who did all... Like, look, I don't want to side with
neither side
clubs.
Owes either side the other thing. There was a contract, for fuck's sake. He was like, yes, I will play for you. And they was like, cool, we'll give you 50 quid a week. He was like, well, make it 1.5 million and we'll talk. So then they pay him 1.5 million. They get the player who has been... nearly the best player in the world for a lot of time.
1.5 million a week.
Like they owe him nothing. He technically owes them nothing as far as I'm concerned. But don't fucking defend him like he give his life up to go and work in a fucking monastery or something.
He's got to stay at Barcelona. Can't come to play at the Etihad. Oh. What? Like, how can you be that bothered? Like,
it's that way.
Sorry, that way. How can you be that bothered? Like, I don't get it.
Old Trafford.
How can you be that bothered by...
Yeah, let's see if you can pinpoint someone, the office.
Someone not being
Old Trafford, Etihad,
Tenerife, Scotland. Bit of Peter Kay for the lads.
Tenerife, Scotland.
Premier League starts soon.
Scotland's that way, actually.
Premier League starts soon.
Does it?
Because then we've got another international break in October.
How? Should we have a sweepstakes? This would be fun. Sweepstake, how many postponements because of the Rona first weekend?
Zero.
I'm going to say one.
I'm going to say zero. Because they've done the tests already this week.
I reckon they're getting another one today or tomorrow.
If you've got people like Mason Greenwood and Phil Foden meeting birds in hotels, then might be a few.
Right, can I just say, if you was a United fan and you was like, listen, they've let England down, they've let United down, go fuck yourself, right? Because... this is the fucking club which birthed the world George Best. This is the club which birthed the world Eric Cantona, who was supposedly an absolute fucking elite level shagger, right? And do I even need to mention Dwight Yorke and Ryan Giggs? What would Fergie have done? Fuck all is what he would have done. Absolutely fuck all is what he would have done. He'd be arsed that they got kicked out of England, of course. But can I just ask, where was the fucking outrage in 1996... arguably, with one of the best performances England have ever had on home soil, they went to Hong Kong for... why Hong Kong? They went to Hong Kong just before the tournament started and then they fucking wrecked a flight on the way home in VIP. Bottles of vodka down the neck. It's pre-9/11 so you could do this shit. Like fucking vodka down the neck. Dentist chair where you get held back and they just pour alcohol in your mouth. Gazza come off with like a collar and no shirt. Like McManaman was just drenched. Sheringham was fucking drenched.
I remember the pictures coming
the
out.
The entire team just got fucked up. I mean, to be fair, what a night out that might have been. In team clothing, right? None of them got kicked out of the team. And guess what happened? Gazza scores a fucking rate goal against Scotland and they celebrate now, taking the piss out of that fucking thing.
I got it this time around in terms of, you know, the only thing is the coronavirus thing. That's the only issue, I think, in terms of they didn't do anything illegal.
But
they didn't do anything immoral. They didn't do anything...
Did you see what the restrictions are in... It's Iceland, wasn't it?
You got to get a test just to...
They have to a clean test to enter the country, for one. And there's not much restrictions.
They weren't thinking about that.
No, they weren't.
They weren't thinking about that. Phil Foden never went to Mason Greenwood. Yeah, we shouldn't meet these birds. And then Mason went, well, actually, Phil, the testing in Iceland's quite rigorous, you know. All these girls are going
to
be
actually not, there's actually not that much restrictions in Iceland. They weren't until weekend.
The booking restrictions, there's restrictions everywhere now, isn't it? I wanted to go Portugal and all that. What's that part?
Italy's got fans in. 1,000 fans.
We were supposed to be looking at it in October, but now with us going back on lockdown and
did
all
you
that.
Know... I don't know if I'm supposed to say this. Fuck it. United have contacted people who hold boxes.
That's so are Spurs.
Right, okay.
But you can understand that. I know people are going to say money, 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 and it, but you can... In a box, if you arrive with 10 people who are your family or...
Well, no, they've got a limit.
5 or something.
Something like that, yeah. So they're waiting to find out the full
thing. So that makes sense. Like, I'm not going to say, oh, it's all for the fucking money. Partly it is, but secondly, it makes sense.
Well, they're isolated.
More manageable, yeah.
They're isolated, yeah. So it's wank, but yeah, you know who. I was chatting to him yesterday and saying, so am I in your box then for the fucking opening game of the season? And he went, after C. He goes, about 300 people just messaging me the same thing. Yeah, that
wasn't. Yeah, because we've obviously waited for it to find out when we can renew, or well, when we should have to renew our tickets. We still don't
know. No renewal date yet or anything?
Is it important for this?
Well, it's something that's just popped up in the Streatman group about United hope to let 12,000 fans in for Palace.
Hang on, that's next week?
Yeah.
That's not happening.
Okay, so we've just had word breaking news.
I've got it here. So Manchester United hope to let 12,000 fans in for the Crystal Palace game. This is via The Athletic.
Mitten, innit? Shout out Andy Mitten.
Can't see the author's name, but I think it's Andy Mitten. Man United will meet with the authorities on Thursday to put forward their plans to let fans back into Old Trafford for matches Andy Mitten can exclusively reveal. United will discuss the feasibility of allowing 12,000 supporters to attend a trial for their opening league game against Palace on September the 19th. But what I will say is, I imagine this article was written yesterday before we heard the news that we're going back into a lockdown next
week.
That's
a good point.
And before all of that
stuff. That's
probably
going to change everything.
So that might change all of that.
But it did say, I mean, because let's be honest, the government's making it up as they go along. In that thing yesterday, because obviously my team started fucking sharing the articles yesterday, which is no more than 6 anymore. But then if you look into the article, they went, but football's going to be excluded. So amateur football, non-league football, like the FA Cup, the Youth Cup, stuff like that that's going on at the moment, they're like, yeah, crack on. Oh, I'm sure we'll find out more Monday. But that, 12,000 people, how can you say you can't have 7 of you go to a fucking pub?
It says here.
12,000 of you can go watch United.
Will the new COVID-19 rules have an impact? It says the last government guidance was that fans would be able to return in limited numbers from October. That was a few months ago.
Yeah.
Fans were allowed back to non-league games following testing events.
See you on Monday is the bottom line.
I think it's going to be scrapped again. But it's good to see the club are working towards that. Obviously, you were mentioning the commercial boxes. I assume that's included in that 12,000.
Well, how many commercial boxes do you reckon? How many do you reckon there is?
They're about yay big. And there's about... go around. Are they on both tiers in some stadiums? In some stands?
No. I think some of the ones...
So you got some
under
the stretty.
They sit in the padded seat.
You got some under the stretty.
It depends. Is it the private boxes or the lounges?
I'd imagine it'd be
the lounges.
The lounges,
not the lounge.
Not the ones where you go in, have food and then go into the general seating. I don't think it'd be that one.
No, it'd be private boxes. I reckon it's probably...
It'd be like when we went in... Thingies?
Chevrolets.
Yeah, well, no, I never went in Chevrolets.
I did.
Lou's?
Me and Sam Onward went in it.
Went with Blue?
Oh, yeah, Jess's.
Jess's?
Yeah, it'd be like that. Mm. I would imagine there's probably 100-120 of them, so that's what, 1,000, 1,200. If it's maximum capacity, it might be 600 if they're half it. It's not a lot.
I'd go. I'm fine with going to games. I'd go, if there was a game tomorrow and it was 70,000, I'd go.
Well, yeah.
I've had enough.
Because there's, I mean, like, I've got to think... As we found out last night, the implications of, like, 40 people leaving training and, like, shit, lads, where have you all been? We need to, like, trace it. And people's like, oh, I went to the pub. Yeah, it's an absolute fucking nightmare. So you can imagine what 70,000 people bomb bursting's going to do. Coughing's going to be illegal, though.
Coughing.
Sitting there,
I know. Everyone looks at you like, oh, God.
That is like...
You're going to rather fart out loud than cough nowadays, isn't it?
Right.
Before,
I reckon...
Before you'd cough to cover a fart.
I reckon you could whip your old chap out and it'd have less of a response than you just going...
Yeah, probably not in the family stand, but...
Sheffield's fine. Right, I think we're fucking done here. Cheers for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe. As I said, go if you want to go and check it out, and it's a fantastic episode, which covers all our pre-season dickings that we got. If you want to go check that out, it's on the Stretford Paddock FC channel. It's good. Adam's done a fucking great job, not him. The other
me.
One.
I'm videographer now. I'm amazing.
he's done a good job. And actually, unless Monday changes anything, if you are in the Manchester area and you want to watch some live football, 26th of September, Stretford Paddock have taken over Drawsden Stadium. Did you hear about what happened with Drawsden?
I hear that they need to raise funds because the team's not been scrapped, but they're not in the league next season.
They resigned from the league. The league actually didn't accept their resignation. Gave them a couple of extended deadlines. I think that's now final that they accepted their resignation. They might be able to return at the same level next season. Normally they have to drop a few leagues down, but they might be able to return at the same level next season. We'll find out on that one. I'd be very surprised if that was the case, but remains to be seen. Stretford Paddock are hiring Drawsden Stadium, so if you want to watch live football in Manchester, currently the only place you can fucking do that is Stretford Paddock, 2 p.m. kickoff, 26th of October. United play Brighton on the same day. We'll have it on a big screen, so you can watch Brighton and then you can watch Paddock, probably disappoint you in the afternoon as well. And can I just throw this one at you? You can watch the match and have a beer on the terrace, which you can't do in the Premier League.
And make sure if you go down, you chuck a few in the pot for draws, then yeah, you're bell ends. Don't
we
be just
are,
going
we're
there.
Taking a
free ticket. Oh yeah. Spend an extra few quid on beer.
We're not charging entry, so you can just fucking waltz in if you want, and you've got to stay socially distanced. But if you want to come in and you want to watch some live football, you can do. There will be a voluntary donation which goes 100% to Drawsden on top of what we're giving them in rent. So obviously, I'm from Drawsden. It's a great little stadium. And I was already in negotiations with Drawsden about the stadium before they went under. So hopefully we can put some money behind the counter for them. And obviously what we're giving them in rent hopefully brings that team back. It's one of the most fucking historical teams in the area.
I've heard of
it. Yeah. So. And it's 100 metres from a tram stop. And there's four pubs in between the tram stop and the fucking ground. There is no excuse to not fucking come and get in the mixer.
The only thing that can stop us now is Boris. So let's hope that bell end
shuts
his mouth.
And there's a good 50% chance that'll happen, by the way. But yeah, anyway, if you fancy it, 26th of October, it's a 2 o'clock kickoff. We'll be watching the Brighton United game at the venue. And then we'll be kicking off like within 10 minutes of that. So if you want to come and check that out, come and check that out. And I'll see you guys in the next one. Laters.
Have a nice.
Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.